We welcome once again to the program the man who you turn to when you want to talk about dogs, cats, ferrets, lions and tigers, oh my, giraffes, cats. That would be Steve Dale. Steve, are you there?
I am, but giraffes aren't. They are disappearing. Actually, I know I'm not here to talk about the long necks.
No, you can talk about whatever you want. I mean, we'll get to what I asked you to come on for, but sure, you get. Hey, you want to talk about it?
Giraffe.
You talk about it? We'll talk. You talk about it? We'll talk about it. Sounds like a promo from a defunct radio station. You talk about it, and we'll talk about it.
And here I go. So giraffes really are disappearing.
Why?
You know, a variety of different reasons. They are losing the land they live on and the trees they eat off of as there is more and more farming. That's the biggest reason of all. They're actually hunted illegally.
Why?
But yes, they're being poached.
Why would you want to?
I don't know.
What would
you know, people think sport hunting, you know. People think it's a cool thing to shoot giraffes, I suppose. But in any which case, let's talk about the hot weather and dogs.
That's why I called you, or had Brandon call you today, because I'm out walking the dog, and I'm saying to myself, boy, it's hot. Then we talked earlier tonight with Bill Snyder, who's the weather producer over at Channel 9.
Sure.
He's telling us about how hot it's going to get. We're talking about 90s. We're talking about humidity, and I remembered talking to you about this very subject probably last summer. And I said to myself, you know what? It's always good to go over the steps one should take with your pet, whatever pet that may be, when temperatures and humidities get into the range that they're going to get into. And, you know, that includes hydration and also the temperature of the pavement. So take it away, Steve Dale.
All right. Well, if you're hot, your dog is hotter.
Yes.
Dogs do not deal with heat as well as people do. They're just not built for it. So the only way, they sweat a little bit, which is actually sweating, well, some of us say, oh, that's gross, is pretty efficient at keeping us cool as a means to do so. However, dogs don't greatly do that. They do a little bit from their paw pads, and they expend heat by panting.
Yeah.
But They really, panting is not very efficient. So they really do get hotter than we get, period. Then add on a couple of different factors for some dogs. The brachiocephalic dogs, those are the dogs with the pushed-in faces that look like they walked into a wall. I'm talking about the bulldogs.
Pugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Japanese chin, the Pekingese, the Boston Terrier. Some of the pit bull type dogs, boxers, other dogs. So they're going to have an even more difficult time, particularly a percent of those breeds, which is significant, with brachiocephalic obstructive airway syndrome, which is a medical problem that makes it even more difficult. So if it's 75 degrees out, to them it's like 95 degrees. Yeah.
Whoa.
So this is why we see some of those dogs sometimes just stop in their tracks, and they are telling you, if I go any further, I may suffer heat stroke. Also, very large dogs, Newfoundlands, Great Pyrenees, Great Danes, they have a difficult time dealing with heat compared to smaller dogs. And one more thing that people often who do what I do would agree with, but for some reason don't talk about on the radio. Your great-great-granny, who's 105, is not going to have a great time bouncing around, well, maybe in any weather, but great-granny maybe is pretty nimble, but not when it's 100 degrees out, you know? Not when the humidity is oppressive. They feel it more than we do, and the same is true in dogs. So geriatric dogs have a more difficult time with extreme heat. Now, how do you know the dog is suffering? Sometimes it can be hard to tell, but hypersalivation, they're over-salivating. It is normal for dogs to pant, but not to look almost like they're catching or trying to catch their breath. Mm-hmm. Over panting is a huge sign. Dogs that just drop onto the ground. It's a way, the pavement is hot,
yeah.
But it's a way to cool off. They're hardwired to do so, or dropping on the grass, because that way they're completely, their belly is exposed. If you want to cool off a dog, by the way, you can have them walk through a puddle from a sprinkler, or put them in a little kiddie pool, because their paw pads, their paw pads yeah. will help cool them off, or spray that hose on their tummy. That's why they lay down on their tummy. There's so much body surface there,
yeah.
and that can help them to cool off. But we don't want them to ever get that far necessarily.
Right. I have a text here from 630. I take a spray bottle of cold water when I walk Fido and spritz him. Is that okay?
It's a great idea.
What there you go.
Surprising is that the dog's name is Fido.
I don't believe it's really Fido. I think that was just put in there as a sort of generic dog indicator.
I have a question.
You have a hand up.
You know how humans, if we're getting to the point of heat exhaustion or heat stroke, mm-hmm. if we cool off too fast, it'll send our bodies into a shock state where it'll reject that sort of cooling process. Is that similar with our canine friends? Like, let's say your
Absolutely.
Dog, you notice your dog's getting way overheated, so you just throw him in the kiddie pool. Not enough to make them, you know, like have to paddle or stuff. But if you're trying to cool them down quickly, could it send them into shock?
It may well do that, put them into shock. So bring them home. You could use a moist towel and gently wipe them. But if they continue to show signs once they're in the house,
yeah.
go to the emergency veterinary clinic. Because dogs do die of heat stroke.
Yeah, I've also heard you could do like a cold rag on the back of their neck. Does that, like humans do? Because that would that help them cool down a little bit quicker too?
On the back of their neck, but also, as I said, on their tummy.
Tummy pads and tummy. Yeah. The best. Okay, cool. Thanks, Steve.
By the way, 630 yeah. got back to us. Fido is really Zeus, a pit bull. I told you it was just a sort of generic indicator of that it's a dog.
You know, some texters don't want to be identified. I understand that. And they go by anonymous names. I understand that as well. By the way, the kiddie pool is a great idea. For doing those walks, you should not give them up if you can't. Just
yeah, wait a minute. How about that, though?
Them. What?
I mean, you can't take the dog out for its normal walk if it's like 89 degrees or something and the sun's out.
Well, yes and no. So for many dogs, if not most dogs, you are absolutely right, John. But there are some dogs, younger dogs, dogs that are generally smaller dogs,
yeah.
that the heat kind of doesn't bother. And you could just tell by looking at your dog. But what I tell people is, you know what, do so early in the morning before it gets really hot, do so later after sunset.
Yeah.
And also, I love the idea of bringing that water bottle to spritz the dog. Also bring water. And they've got all these contraptions now that you can bring where if one is brilliant. Actually, there's a couple of brands out there that do this. You try to picture this. It looks like the water bottle type things we drink out of,
mm-hmm.
but it has a little thing on top. And you unscrew that, and it also comes with a little dish type thing. And you could pour the water in the little dish type thing. So it's both water for us and for your dog.
Yeah, we had one
that
folds out, and you press the button, and the water would drain into a little dish. And then you could tilt it back up, and it would go right back into the bottle.
Wasting
no water.
This is just bonding over water. That's what it is. Bonding.
A hydrogen bond.
Yes. Stay on the line there. More with Steve Dale. If you have any questions about the heat, whatever, about pets and animals, feel free. 312-981-7200. We'll be back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. John Landecker asked Steve Dale to come on tonight because it's getting really, really hot and really, really humid. And what can we do to... keep our pets cool or at least unaffected by the heat. And we've been talking about dogs, but how about some other things? How about cats? Are they susceptible to any of this, or are they just pretty much inside and in the air conditioning?
Well, you know, some people do have indoor-outdoor cats, and for those cats, heat stroke can be a problem. Now, having said that, it seems the smaller dogs have less of an issue, and the same for cats, given that they're smaller. There are some brachiocephalic cats that have breathing issues because they have those push-in faces and limited airwaves. Some of the, for example, a Persian cat and a breed called the Exotic. But those cats are generally always indoors. You know, the cats are so good at finding places to cool off, or at least finding shade. So we don't see quite the same problem as in dogs. And dogs don't have a choice always. For example, you're walking your dog is on a leash. Your dog has no choice but to go across that hot parking lot. Now, let's say it's 85 degrees and sunny. That asphalt or asphalt, you will determine how you say it. So if it's 85 degrees and sunny, how hot do you think it heats up to? No prize given.
I'm waiting for your answer.
150 degrees. So it is no surprise that dogs sometimes burn themselves, literally. Or they do a little dance, and they're not doing a dance to be Britney Spears to entertain us. Yeah. They're doing it because it hurts. It hurts. You know. So that's something to keep in mind, actually. If you cannot keep your palm down on that pavement for about 2 minutes, then it's too hot for your dog to walk on. So People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals keeps track of this. In 2022, 85 dogs plus, we don't know them all, died in hot cars. And people are going to say, oh, there he goes again. Of course I know not to leave my dog in a hot car, but somebody doesn't know this, because in 2023, that number went up to over 160 dogs. Now, I cannot myself comprehend, but people do this. They run into a store. They think it's only going to take 3 minutes. They think, okay, the window's down a little bit. The car is not going to get that hot. So on a 90-degree day, a car will heat up to well over 100 degrees in less than 10 minutes, even with the windows open a crack. But let's say more reasonable. It's 80 degrees out. You're in the shade. 100 degrees takes then 15 minutes. So it's not a myth that dogs do die in hot cars. Remember, we would not sit in a hot car for 15 minutes if it's 80 degrees outside, and we'd roll down every window, open the door a bit, and all that, you know. Remember, though, dogs don't deal with heat as well as we do. Something people don't think about are swimming pools. So dogs do fall into pools sometimes, and if we're talking certain kinds of dogs, like bulldogs or pugs, they just sink like a rock, you know. So we have to remember to protect our dogs so they don't fall into a pool. But even, I don't know, the Michael Phelps of the dog world, like Labradors, Newfoundlands, they can't swim forever. So they need to ensure that they understand how to get out of the pool and that it's easy for them to get out of the pool as well.
You are affecting people tonight in a positive way. Steve, I've got a text from 630. Steve, I learned a lot from your time on the show tonight. I had a Shih Tzu that would sometimes stop before it got home from a walk. As you said, 75 can seem like 95 to them. He would also just lie down in the dirt and lay there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's...
Yeah, it probably is hot weather. Now, having said that, if this Shih Tzu does that, like when it's like last week when it was cooler outside, then I'd suggest it might be an older dog, and or that dog, older or not, might have a medical reason, most commonly arthritis, which would explain that.
Yeah, but I think she was specifically referring to the difference between hot weather and the dog lying down. I've had that experience too, where I didn't plan on it, but I got out in the open in the country with a dog walking and realized how hot it was, and actually was going to pick the dog up and carry it with me instead of having her walk, and she would go to the side of the road and just sink into whatever greenery was there in her attempt just to cool off. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Something similar happened today. We have a 9-pound dog, and I'm walking the dog, and the dog turned around and looked and saw me lying on the ground and carried me home.
What a great dog. What a great dog.
She's a good dog.
So, Steve, thank you for being with us. Websites, radio programs, television appearances, trips to conferences, awards, anything to add?
Well, you can always sign up for my free newsletter and or follow stories about the kinds of things that I just talked about or, in fact, have been on television talking about cicadas and pets.
Oh, yes.
And you can do that through my website, which is stevedale.tv. I'm on Sundays on WGN at 5:30. Thank you very much for asking. And also on from 1 o'clock until 3 o'clock. And this Sunday, of course, is Father's Day.
Yes, indeed.
So we're going to be talking to Steve Guttenberg, the actor.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote a book about his dad. And remembering his father, he's going to be on the show. And we are also talking to the author of a book called Eat, Poop, and Grow about micro preemie babies. And Brian Helig is the author of this book, and he's donating the proceeds.
Yeah.
So what may have happened to his baby won't happen to others.
Okay.
It's a beautiful story.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. Thank you so much for coming on, Steve, at the last minute when I asked this afternoon. I really appreciate it. Have a good night.
When John calls, I'm there.
By the way, you were great. Okay? So don't text me in 15 minutes and ask. All right?
10 minutes?
No.
Okay.
Bye.
No. Okay. Thanks.